we have been saved from what? The penalty of sin, once and for all. The instantaneous legal innocence declared upon us, as we said. Okay? One-time act. But now we are being saved from the power of sin, becoming more like Jesus Christ. That's our battle right now. That's the heart of this series, part of this message. But we shall be saved from the presence of sin. Three P's are very helpful.
Thank you for joining us here today on Live in the Light. Live in the Light is a radio program. That's pretty obvious. But what you may not know is that our radio program is one that goes verse by verse through the pages of Scripture, because we believe that God brings about radical transformation through the revelation of God's Word. And we're praying that God does just that today as we continue on in our series looking at the Holy Spirit. And today we pick up a very important truth: that the Spirit of God plays a vital role in sanctifying us. That is, in our day-to-day walk, He makes us more and more like Christ. It's a huge truth indeed, and Pastor Robbie explains more in today's teaching from Romans 8.
But at that point, the battle over the power of sin begins. The penalty of sin is forever erased when we are justified. But at that moment then, the battle over the power of sin begins in our lives. It's just so amazing. Like, I talk to people and I myself, life before Christ in some ways seems so easy. Anyone agree with that? I talk to people all the time, man, before Christ, I kind of went with my life, I was doing this and that, never really thought about much going on. All of a sudden, I get saved in Jesus Christ, I'm totally different, and then all of a sudden, I'm aware of all this stuff going on around me and the realities of the evil of my heart and the temptation to sin, and it's like, man, I had no clue. What is that? It's this. It's you are a new creation that has now become aware of the spiritual reality of life, and you are at war with the passions of your flesh, seeking to win that for the glory of God. So again, let me just retrace that a little bit to get more people with us right now. Although our legal standing before God is declared innocent, justification, we still have a sinful nature that fights against us. Look on the screen here. Here's some more theology. Love it. Okay. Now, I've taught this. I want to teach this once a year, every year, and I hope I do it that much at least. If you know this right now, wonderful. Teach it to someone else this week. Promise? Okay, promised. All right. Why teach it? We learn it. There's someone you need to. I pulled this out with my son today. We're driving in the car early in the morning, and I had these slides on my phone. I said, look at this. I said, can you explain this to me? And we talked through it together. It took a couple of minutes. It was really, really productive. I'm just like, son, if you can walk through this and understand it, and I had to help him out a little bit, of course, and stuff like that, like, you're ahead of so many people in the Christian life. Like, so what's happening here? Notice the three aspects, there's others, but the three main aspects of our salvation, right? Past, present, future. Justification, glorification, or sanctification, glorification, okay? Notice the three tenses of our salvation. In the past, justification, I have been saved in the past. Present tense, we are being saved. The process of becoming more like Jesus Christ. Future, we shall be saved, which we just talked about, glorification. We're fired up about that. We can't wait to see that day. So notice this, as the past, present, future relates to the reality of sin. We have been saved from what? The penalty of sin, once and for all. The instantaneous legal innocence declared upon us, as we said, okay? One-time act. But now we are being saved from the power of sin, becoming more like Jesus Christ. That's our battle right now. That's the heart of this series, heart of this message. But we shall be saved from the presence of sin. Three P's are very helpful. If you can explain this, that is very, very good. Take it. It'll be online for you this week if you want it. Teach it to someone. Let yourself learn this, because this is so powerful and so beautiful to understand what the Bible is teaching in so many different places. I'd love right now to take a survey and to know precisely how many people get it and how many people don't. And I'd just be so curious. But the more we grow together and get the theology in our lives and the understanding comes and the Spirit of God uses that and the passions of our life grow, it's awesome. This is the battle that we are in. So let's learn more about this battle. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 17. This should be a familiar passage. This is Paul speaking of his struggle with his sinful nature. So now we're talking again about sanctification. Romans 7, verse 17. Paul says, "So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Anyone testify to that here? Yeah. I mean, this is our life, isn't it? You're just like, man, I relate with this so much, right? This is the greatest battle of my heart. Okay, as pastor, this is the greatest battle every day. Why is my heart so wicked? Please. You know what I'm learning, though? I'm learning this too. One of the signs of maturity is the increasing awareness of the reality of your own sin. God uses our awareness of our sinful nature to humble us. Imagine if we walked around, we never sinned. We'd be like, man, me and Jesus, we're like the same, man. Like, I'm amazing. I can do it all. But sin is not good. But sin is used in the sovereignty of God to humble us, to break us, to let us know how much we need Christ. And it also shows us that the more we're aware of our sin, the more we are actually growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where Paul's at. Look at verse 20. "So now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Paul's struggle. We're thankful that we can see passages like this and be blessed and encouraged. So listen, although our old self was crucified with Christ, our sinful nature continues to temporarily annoy us. But annoy is really the wrong word, isn't it? Because our flesh and sinful nature is at war within us. It wants to bring us down. And so this is why the call of the believers back to Romans 8 verse 13 is put to death the deeds of the body. An essential, a serious command. And this is why John Owen, in his several hundred page book, can be summarized with verse 13 in this one phrase. He said, "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. Please understand too, loved ones, that sin always aims for the highest possible devastation. This is the insight that Owen provides here too. Remember, if sin is left unchecked, if sin is unconfessed and allowed to run free, it will always turn into the highest degree of sin of that kind. Meaning, every lustful thought, if allowed, would turn into idolatry every time. Every thought of unbelief would run into atheism, if allowed. Every jealous thought would turn to murder. Every insecurity would lead to suicide, if allowed. See, sin is never satisfied. The flesh never slows down. It will harden humans to their own ruin. Some of you might be saying, you're exaggerating. I say, read your Bible. Romans 8, verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. No wonder then Paul calls us to put to death the flesh. Again, verse 13. But if you, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, the call is to kill the flesh. The subjects of that call are believers. Listen to what John Owen said about this. Take this, receive this, put your mindset upon this as well. The choicest believers who are assuredly free from the condemning power of sin ought yet to make it their business all their days to mortify, kill the indwelling power of sin. His pastoral advice is all believers, the choicest believers who are alive in Christ, make it your business all the day to be seeking to kill the indwelling sin, to mortify, to put to death the deeds of the body that you might live. I just want to point out in our lives, we care about so many things, don't we? We care about our investments. We care about our children. We care, understandably, we care about our health. We care about our careers. We care so much about our reputations. We care about our education. We care about our physical bodies. I just had to ask you one question, though, but what about our souls? What about our souls? Just think, imagine we put the same amount of time as we do wherever, education, the gym, certain relationships, if we put the same amount of time into our souls, watching ourselves and understanding that we are at war within. The call of our lives is to kill the flesh. Now, if we stopped there, I would be doing you an incredibly awful disservice. If I left you right now and said, kill the flesh, good luck, let me know how it goes, that would be treating you terribly scripturally and so unbiblical. Understand what verse 13, this is the turning point right now. Okay, now we come to the most important part. Point number two is this, okay? I'm called to kill the flesh, but point number two is my power is the Holy Spirit, okay? Somebody say amen, right? Okay, now listen, Romans 8, verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Here we go. But if by the Spirit, but if by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, let's consider again the power and impact of the Holy Spirit on our lives just seen in Romans chapter 8, okay? Let's study together. Again, you shouldn't have to turn our page, okay? Look at verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. Notice, the Holy Spirit is our life and peace. Verse 9, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Verse 10, the Holy Spirit is our life. Verse 11, the Holy Spirit, as he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, has also raised us from the dead, who has become our life. Verse 14, the Holy Spirit leads us, testifies that we are sons of God, leads us as children of God. Verse 15, the Holy Spirit becomes our spirit of adoption. Awesome. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, prays for us, and helps us pray, okay? Again, the bottom line, I've said this in different ways in different weeks. You got to hear it every day we live. The bottom line is we can do nothing apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, who is our life. We can do nothing. If our flesh is our greatest enemy, if sin is our greatest foe, ready? The only way to put to death the deeds of the body is by the Holy Spirit of God. So false religions are built on the strength of man. That's why they fail. Because man can never produce the supernatural life change that only Father, Son, Holy Spirit can produce in us. The power that overcomes or defeats evil and the strength of sin within can only be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. Chris Lundgaard, he wrote a book based on the book that John Owen wrote on Romans 8, verse 13, The Enemy Within, it's called. And he uses a really good illustration in trying to defeat the flesh on our own. He says this, he likens it to a biology teacher who hands you a live wolverine and asks you to dissect it. He says, you can talk nicely to the wolverine. You can try to calm it down. You can do all sorts of things to try to get it to relax. But the moment you intend to cut it open, he says, you're dead. The moment you try to cut open a live Wolverine, you're dead. Here's a picture of Wolverine. You've seen these things? Whoa, man, look at that. Look at that. I mean, just look at that. They just do not give up. And you try to take a scalpel to that guy. You, me, try to take a scalpel to our flesh on our own strength. We are also dead. Because our flesh resists any change for good of any kind. Our flesh hates good and loves sin. Our flesh hates prayer, loves apathy. Our flesh hates the word of God, loves the lust of men. Our flesh hates humility, loves pride. Our flesh hates faith in the Lord and loves the strength of humans. Our flesh solely feeds on the menu of sin. It has one appetite for one particular desire, and that is sin. Romans 8:13, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, so by the Spirit, check this verse out, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but we always ought to give thanks to God for you, brothers, watch this, beloved by the Lord, okay, watch what's happening, okay, because God chose you, such amazing theology in here, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, okay? Now, how do we know we're saved? The rest of the verse explains it. Chosen by God to be saved, how do we know we're saved? Through sanctification by the Spirit. The way we know we're saved is we are being sanctified by the Spirit of God, notice, and belief in the truth, because the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth who uses the Word of God, which is our truth, to see us be transformed by the truth to look like more like Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus Christ prayed to his Father, John 17, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. But the proof of our salvation is we're being sanctified by the Spirit and belief in the truth. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. The power source for sanctification is from the Holy Spirit of God. That is why Charles Spurgeon again said, we heard last week, without the Holy Spirit, we are ships without wind, and we are branches without sap. Only the Holy Spirit, loved ones, can silence the flesh, starve the flesh, and shut down the flesh. It's as practical as when our sinful thoughts flood our mind. We cry out, Holy Spirit, would you be my light? It's the Holy Spirit that sends light that expels the darkness. It's the Holy Spirit that lights a fire that consumes lust. The Holy Spirit is the one who overcomes our flesh. And you know what happens here? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. So here's the key. Look right here. Walk by the Spirit, right? How do we walk by the Spirit? There's so many different ways, and we'll get into this in a few weeks in much detail, but walking by the Spirit is every day. If we are temples of the Holy Spirit of God, we must take the Holy Spirit with us, walk with him, and allow him to enter into every room in our house. Holy Spirit, I'm not isolating you to the front hall closet. You can't see anything else. Just stay there. Don't come near. I want the rest of my life to be mine. You can't do that. You are walking the Holy Spirit into the family room. Holy Spirit, all that happens here in the family room, my relationships, the things that are going on, the work that I might do, whatever, I invite you to have say in all the different aspects of what happens in the family room. Holy Spirit, I come into the kitchen, and right now, whatever goes on again, relationships, the things I think about, the things that I do, and the what this represents, I invite you to take control and have say in this part of my life as well. Holy Spirit of God, I walk you up into my bedroom. And I give you full authority over what happens in places such as this, that you might lead, that you might guide, that you might convict. Because Holy Spirit, I can't do this without you. And so I pray you will reign and you will be the one. I invite you into every corner and the closet that I'm terrified of opening, I go to that closet and I open it up despite the darkness and despite the skeletons that might be in there. Holy Spirit, I come and shine the light that you might free me from what's happening there, that I can see victory and know that only you can defeat the deeds of the body. Only you can take my flesh and pummel. Only you ultimately can allow me to see the victory I so much want, but my flesh within me is fighting everything against me that it might not happen. Holy Spirit of God, you must be everything in my life. I need you. I want you. Holy Spirit, I invite you with me on my computer, on my phone, every text, every image, every email, every website. Holy Spirit of God, please, would you walk with me? Because when I walk by the Spirit of God, when I pray to the Spirit of God, when I surrender to the Spirit of God, when I humble myself in the Spirit of God, when I confess my sins to the Spirit of God, then I will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because only by the Holy Spirit of God can I see victory such as this. The Holy Spirit and sanctification. My calling is to kill the flesh. My power is the Holy Spirit. And let's wrap up with this. Number three, my promise is life. My promise is life. Romans 8, verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Live. The promise of life. Don't you hate sin? I hate sin. Why? Sin sucks the life right out of us. Sin steals our spiritual joy. Sin pollutes our lives, stains our minds, poisons our hearts. Sin brings chaos to our lives. But when we are led by the Holy Spirit of God, he brings peace, life, and joy, and love, simplicity, and unity. You know what's so interesting? Too many Christians live as though the Holy Spirit doesn't even exist. Too many professing Christians live as though the Holy Spirit is not real. That's got to change. The daily expectation, anticipation, the Spirit of God. Here's what one author asked this fascinating question. He asked this question: if God were to withdraw his Holy Spirit from me, would I even notice the difference? I mean, that is fascinating. Would I even notice? I pray the answer here in this place would be a desperate yes. If he withdrew the Spirit of God from me, I would fall to pieces, because I'm so dependent upon him, because the Spirit of God is life. And without him, I will smell like death. And you know what? Right now, I'm getting emails from the beautiful people of this church that are coming in testifying to, I've never thought about the Spirit of God more. I've never anticipated his work in my life more. I've never woke up with more expectation to see the Holy Spirit of God strengthening, empowering, moving, leading, teaching, blessing, filling with joy. I've never thought about him more. And keep those emails coming, way better than complaints. Keep them coming, because it blesses staff and elders and the leaders just know, we just want so much to see God do what only he can do. It's the expectation that I'm changing because I'm focusing on him, who the only one who can defeat my flesh, that I might live. And this is what the Holy Spirit does, doesn't he? He brings life, true life. This isn't going on some kind of new diet. This isn't experiencing some kind of new health regime. I feel vitality. We're talking about that. We're talking about true life. What are the signs of life from the Holy Spirit? Here are some. Regeneration. That's a little bit of a big one. He brings strength. Colossians 1, that you may have strength and endurance. Wisdom. The Spirit of God searches even the depths of God. He brings life to me as I have wisdom. You know how important wisdom is in your life? Wisdom. Wisdom, it just saves you from so much junk, so much pain, so much unnecessary heartache. The lack of wisdom that destroys marriages and families and lives in general. Holy Spirit brings wisdom, man. There's no teacher like him. The Holy Spirit brings worship. But be filled, Ephesians 5, but be filled with the Spirit, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. filled with the Spirit, we sing, we worship, be filled with the Spirit, the life that is found with gratitude, the joy that he brings. Be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always. The Spirit of God creates gratitude within us. Have you been whining, moping, complaining, criticizing? Have you been seeing everything you don't? When the Spirit of God fills you, no matter where you are, what's happened, what's going on in your life, you will be thankful. That's what he does. The Holy Spirit doesn't sin, so he doesn't mope and complain and feel sorry for himself. He doesn't. So we're filled with him. We don't do those things either. The Holy Spirit's our help. Learned that all last week. The Holy Spirit's our power. Read that today. Power, come on. So life. Look at life, 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 life. The world can't give you that. The world can't give you that. The Holy Spirit can. If by the Spirit you put that into the body, you will live. You will live. The Holy Spirit promises life. The Holy Spirit promises life to those who look to him right now. One little example that you can try this week. What would happen every week? I just love the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace, and we could go on. If you woke up every day this week and you prayed, Holy Spirit of God, would you bear the fruit of love in my life? What happens if you would do that for every day until we met again next week? You woke up and you sincerely said, you know what the flesh does? Flesh prays for vengeance. Flesh is like, wants people to suffer because they've wronged us. It's just so wicked. The Spirit of God, though, would you give me a love that I cannot create in myself? That I would be used to be such a blessing to the people around me? You win, loved ones. You win every single time when the Holy Spirit bears fruit through you. No wonder the Holy Spirit led the older man to walk up to D.L. Moody and say, young man, honor thy Holy Spirit or thou shalt break down. And no wonder the Holy Spirit has said to us today as a church, young man, young woman, whoever, honor the Holy Spirit or you shall break down too. But if by the Spirit you put to death deeds of the body, you shall live. Now listen, live, live. I ask you to be still. You shall live. What is true living? It's life. What is true life? Jesus Christ. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, where does he point us? Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is life. All of life is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
Well, certainly with a message like we have heard today from God's word, there's bound to be some good, solid conviction. But with conviction, we hope that you also see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ available to you today for those of you who would turn from your sin and find Jesus Christ and his forgiveness again today. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We recognize that here at Live in the Light. And listen, if God's been changing you and growing you or even challenging you, particularly today, and you'd like a copy of today's message to let that soak a little more, we'd encourage you to visit us online at liveinthelight.ca, liveinthelight.ca. And hey, while you're there, why not drop a comment and let us know how we can be praying for you. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can visit us through our phone number at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-5448. Well, that's all for today here at Live in the Light. We hope to see you next time, and God bless.